Welcome to Red Journal Radio Show. I'm Salita, and I would like to stimulate your mind and encourage you to step out of your comfort zone with news, information, stories that will inspire and motivate you. Again, welcome to the Red Journal Radio Show. Good evening, people. I'm hoping everyone has had a great day. You know we have to start off with our meditation, but before we do that, I want to say welcome to the Red Journal Radio Show, and I am your host, Salita. Now, we have two good subjects, sex and love making, what is really the difference, and how to become a notary in the entrepreneur's corner. All right, so you know what comes first all the time. It's time to sit back, relax, enjoy a little meditation, and then we'll get back into the groove. Close your eyes. Listen to the rhythm of your heartbeat. As you listen, try to match the steady drumming sound. Each time you breathe in, wait 3 heartbeats, then slowly breathe out. Listen for the 3 heartbeats. Do this 3 times in a row. Now feel the stress fall away from your body. As you try this exercise, imagine you hear the ocean in the distance. You hear the waves as they splash against the shore. The seagulls singing, the smell of salty air, and a small breeze that blows against your face. Lynn and Sam's lovemaking became more intense. The longer they were away from each other, Lynn walked into the kitchen with nothing on, and immediately took Sam from behind, right at the sink, as she washed the dishes. She was already sore, but she needed him inside her. She moaned and pushed back against, taking all of him in. Lynn slammed against her over and over again as he emptied himself inside her. Gently choking her with his strong arm, Sam felt something burst in the pit of her stomach. She realized she was about to have another orgasm. Tighter, Lynn, tighter, please. I need to come again. You son of a bitch, tighter. She took her soapy hands and pressed them against Lynn's arm. Lynn fulfilled her wishes as he continued to pound his thick meat inside her. Sam felt herself begin to black out. And right then, she came over and over again. When her body finally stopped shaking, Lynn let her go. She was breathing heavily. There were tears in her eyes. Sam realized she liked being choked. Lynn instantly turned her around and kissed her deeply. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Rubbing her neck, sorry for what? That was the greatest orgasm I had in a long time. Lynn looked back at her neck, looked at her neck. Sam, I think you should look at your neck. I will not do that again. Sam looked in the mirror, and the red marks around her neck caught her off guard. I will just have to wear a scarf until they go away. Sam, I can't do that again. Period, and I won't. Lynn said, unsure of himself. Sam's orgasms were delicious, but he didn't want to take a chance to repeat that again. That's the excerpt from White Dove, Chapter 9, written by C.B. McCall. Now, that was a hot, steamy scene Would you consider that sex or lovemaking? They probably consider that, the two characters in the book, Lynn and Sam, probably consider that as lovemaking. We, reading from the outside, would consider that sex, raw, hot sex. Wow. We'd say sex is when two people get together and have sex. There's no feelings. There's no no realness to it. Some people might think there is no realness to the ideal that people don't feel the same. Sex is meeting somebody. Hey, how you doing? How's everything going? Let's have sex. Lovemaking is I love you. You're my wife. You're my girlfriend. You mean the world to me. I want to make love to you. Is that what it is? Well, I'm hoping of it being more than just that. But I think, really, to be honest with you, sex and lovemaking to me might be the same. It's an act. Both of them are acts that both people feel good when they're doing it. Both people are supposed to get something out of it. So, really, is there a big difference between sex and lovemaking? I'm quite sure someone else has a different opinion and probably do not believe the same way that I do when it comes to lovemaking. What is the difference? What do you think is the difference? I'm sorry. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. Is there really a difference? Now, the question also is that goes along with this is, are you making love or just having sex? And again, you know me and my articles from Psychology Today, it says, it is often said that making love is just a euphemism for having sex. To be sure, these terms are frequently used interchangeably. Unfortunately, common use or misuse can mask the important distinction between these two activities. Indeed, many people who have good sex mistake it for love only to find out that their apparent lover was not the person with whom they care to spend their life with. So that's another little intricate part of when it's lovemaking, it's the person that you love. The whole word is love. Okay? Excuse me. So it says, this is not to proclaim the moral, quote unquote, or prudential superiority of making love. Indeed, some would prefer to just have sex. Sex alleviates tension. Love causes it. Still, it's important that one gets what one bargains for. Of course, making love, as distinct from being in love, necessarily involves having sex. But having sex, even great sex, is not necessarily making love. Wow. Just as a nice, cool beer is not a glass of wine. Truly, some may prefer the taste of one or the other, and a beer may be the drink of choice on a given occasion, say at a Knicks game. But it would indeed be unfortunate if one ordered a glass of Merlot in an intimate setting and was served a Bud. So, are you making love or just having sex? Are you getting what you really want? And if not, how can you get it? The first of these three questions can be answered only if one knows the difference between having sex versus making love. But this in turn requires pinning down the meanings of each one of these words. According to a philosopher, his name is Alan Goldman, sexual desire is desire for contact with another person's body and for the pleasure which such contact produces. Sexual activity, which tends to fulfill such desire of the agent. He also claims that sexual activity is not necessarily a means to a further end. For example, procreation is not the essential purpose of having sex. So you're not doing anything wrong, that is, misusing your body. If you're having sex without trying to get pregnant, indeed, according to Goldman, there is no essential purpose to sex beyond fulfilling your desire for contact with another person's body. I think we can take Goldman's account of sexual activity as a working definition for developing and contrasting the ideal of lovemaking. Inasmuch as sex is a desire for the physical contact with someone else's body, it is a mechanical activity, rubbing, touching, caressing, kissing, sucking, biting, and, of course, intercourse, as fulfillments of a desire for physical contact. Are all sexual activities in this sense? Here is a key word, mechanical. Because these activities are essentially ways of mechanically stimulating or arousing oneself. Per se, they are self-regarding. They seek self-gratification, fulfillment of a purely self-interest desire. As philosopher Immanuel Kant states, sexual love makes of the loved person an object of appetite. As soon as that appetite has been stilled, the person is cast aside as one casts a lemon which has been sucked dry. Here, I deal that sexual love is self-regarding is clearly articulated by Kant. However, for Kant, it is in the transformation from self-regarding is clearly articulated by Kant. However, for Kant, it is in the transformation from, I'm sorry, you guys, I keep reading the same thing. It says, to other regarding sexual activity that sex partners began to see each other as persons rather than as mere objects or things. Thus, he says, under the one condition, that is, the one person is acquired by the other as a thing, that same person also equally acquires the other reciprocally and thus regains and reestablishes the rational personality. Wow. Such reciprocal sexual activity is, for Kant, possible only in the context of monogamous marriage, where each sex partner gives the other a contractual right to the other's body. In this case, mutual desires for physical contact with one another's bodies are gratified by each sex partner. But while this mutual sexual agreement, whether inside or outside the context of marriage, may be a precursor to lovemaking, the latter takes more than mutual consent to let each other satisfy a sexual desire. This is because such mutuality is still mechanical and focused on one's own state of arousal as distinct from that of the other, and therefore fails to capture the intimate character of lovemaking. So Kant's ideal of sexual love, even in its mutual sense, is not truly that of lovemaking. So, what else besides mutuality is involved in lovemaking? As distinct from mere sex, lovemaking dissolves the chasm between you and me. The resolution, however, is not us, because we can still be divided. Instead, in lovemaking, there is a mutual consciousness of unbounding unity without partition. Love, says psychologist Eric Fromm, is in the experience of solidarity with our fellow creatures, is explained by Aristotle, composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies. In making love, your loins are mine and mine's yours. The titillations of mine are yours also, and conversely, my past, my present, and future, my hopes, my dreams, and expectation, and yours coalesce as one, not two persons. There is resignation of separateness to inclusion of the other. It is an ecstatic resonance that defies any breach in oneness. If you understand what that's saying, all I'm getting out of that is that it's two bodies, souls, minds coming together as one. Instead of two separate bodies being aroused and titillated and touched and squeezed, it's one, and it starts in the soul. That's my interpretation of what I just read there. The statement, it takes two to tangle, and so too does it take at least two to make love. Unreciprocated lovemaking is unsuccessful lovemaking. The flames of lovemaking are quick to die when one gives oneself body and soul only to be turned away. Where the other sinks only a body wanting only sex, lovemaking is squandered, even if it is not, at least at first, apparent to the one attempting to make love. It is a counterfeit if based on pretense, because there is duality, not unity, and there is a manipulation and objectification, not authentic mutual respect. When you think about it, when you're having sex, you're in it for you. The other person is not really somebody you're really worried about feeling what you're feeling at that moment. You just want to get it off your chest, in other words, or what we call get the monkey off your back. When lovemaking means you're coming together as one body, soul, mind, spirit, the whole nine yards, all as one, and you love that person, and you can feel it when you come together. Sex is, to me, an animalistic need that needs to be fulfilled for a soul purpose of the sole purpose of self-gratification. Okay. Now, as philosopher Martin Buber would express it, the intimacy of lovemaking is at the level of I, thou, as distinct from I, it. Thus, you cease to be an object or a thing and instead become thou. I am bound up with you as thou and you with me. Of course, as Buber reminds us, the unity of the I-thou is not permanent, and I must at some point begin to see you as an it. For example, in touching each other's bodies, each does what he or she knows is most erotically felt by the other. Here there is a sort of delicate, momentarily analysis and deliberate targeting of a body part, but instantaneously becomes thou again with commingling of not just body, but soul. In making love, there is thus a virtually seamless reciprocity between I, it, and I, thou. There is also powerful symbolism in lovemaking as depicted. Foreplay gradually builds to climax as in the unfolding of a life of two living as one. As such, making love is inspirational, for it signifies and embodies two mutually living as one. Back to what Eric Fromm maintains, that there is a separateness as well as unity in love. In the act of love, I am with all, yet I am myself, a separate, unique, limited, mortal human being. Fromm is careful to stress that love, in all of its manifestations, and not in just the romantic love, is not bondage and subjection, to another human being or denial of one's autonomy. However, the mutuality of lovemaking, as depicted here, guards again domination, for the goal is not to control the other, but instead to lose oneself in the other as the other in oneself. Either way it goes, what they're saying, lovemaking is intertwined. It's me giving to you and you giving to me, and we're doing it at the same time. This has implications for the cognitive, perceptual, and symbolic aspect of lovemaking. When one merely has sex, one perceives the other as an object of pleasure. In mere sexual activity, one may seek to dominate, control, and even humiliate in order to elicit sexual pleasure. Indeed, there are as many ways to cognize and treat one's sex partner as there are ways the human animal can satisfy a sexual desire. But lovemaking is unifying, whereas these cognitions are relational and assume logically distinct beings. For example, masochistic sex, thinking of one as lowly and servile, relegates oneself to something less than, and therefore distinct from men's sex partner. So that's sex. It's not lovemaking. Some people might perceive that as lovemaking, but it's actually just sex. Now, it says, in contrast, the language of lovemaking involves thoughts and perceptions that unite rather than separate, divide, or alienate. Two hearts beating as one expresses a unifying metaphor, although it is not very sensual. While I want to feel you all over can be very ironic, but still objectifying. I want to get lost inside of you can be both ironic and unifying. Unifying thoughts can be deeply personal and can replay in the mind's eye moments of intimacy and solidarity. They can reflect tenderness, an adoring or adorable look, or the instant when you knew you wanted to be together for an eternity. They can be inedible and unspoken, simply expressed, or set into poetic verse. One half of me is you, speaks Shakespeare, Portia, in his Merchant of Venice. And the other half, my own half, I'd call it, belongs to you too. If it's mine, then it's yours, and so I'm all yours. In its diverse, nuanced form, from Shakespeare to the average Joe, the language of lovemaking symbolizes and invites the coalescence of two into one. In contrast, compare the disunifying, objectifying nature of the four-letter language of just having sex. Adapting a metaphor gleaned from the Neoplatonic philosopher Plotinus, the unity experience in lovemaking may be compared to a axiomatic system. Each axiom is essential to the system and cannot be understood apart from it. But the system itself, over and above and distinct from any other axiomarity, the unity of lovemaking is not possible without two lovers. But it is over and above and distinct from them. So in this sense, there is still distinction in unity. But it is the oneness of lovemaking that itself admits no division. Wow. Now, accordingly, it is essentially this unifying aspect of the activity of lovemaking that largely distinguishes it from mere sex. And here is a central how of lovemaking that follows from it. Surrender yourself to the other. Centrally coalesce and trust that the other reciprocates. For like religious experience, lovemaking has an element of faith. If you attempt to have sex without such faith, then you will only be having sex. Transcend the self-interested desire for sexual satisfaction so that your sexual partner's self becomes yours, and conversely, making the goal of other regarding sex moot. So, do you have to be in love in order to make love? Or to get a handle on an answer to this question, you might consider what I have had to say in my blog. This is about a blog. Given its powerful symbolism, building a loving sexual relationship may even pave the way to a more loving relationship beyond the bedroom. Try it out. The taste of wine is what you may crave, but sometimes one may also want a tall, cold one. So it doesn't mean you can't when the mood is right. Just have sex. Wow. All righty then. So with that being said, I think it is time for some love.
From my heart to yours, I give. radio. I'd make the birds sing, yeah, yeah, from my heart to yours. Don't you worry about a thing, from my heart to yours. I give mine. It doesn't matter where I go or what I see.
What I
see. You're the only thing that's left of me. With you, I belong.
Goat milk soap is wonderful for people with dry or sensitive skin or conditions such as eczema and psoriasis. Goat milk contains alpha hydroxy acids such as lactic acid, which helps remove dead skin cells from your skin surface. This leaves loose cells on the surface of your skin smoother and younger looking. Water-based soaps may use harsh chemical acids to accomplish this, frequently with skin damaging results. You can order a bar or two from Fat and Fabulous by Design LLC.biz, a proud sponsor of the Red Journal Radio Show.
Last night we put on an epic light show.
Yeah, we did.
The crowd loved us. We love the crowd.
Wait, but there were only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? All eight of their eyes lit up brighter than ours. And we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, that one girl, she looked like she'd never seen glow in the dark like this before, and we invented glow in the dark.
Yeah, we invented it.
And we're going to be out here every night rocking out our light show at a forest near you.
Woo-hoo!
So come check us out.
Check us out.
And bring your kid, all ages show. Oh, but don't bring any of those glass jars, because they make us kind of nervous.
Yeah, and I'm super claustrophobic.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. And discover other cool things to do when you go, like fishing, biking, or even camping. Visit discovertheforest.org.
See you later!
Yeah, see you soon!
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys. Welcome back to Red Journal Radio Show. I'm your host, Lita, and we're talking about sex and lovemaking and what is really the difference. All right, here we go again. Now, we talked about, according to psychology, today, we learned that sex and love making is two different things, in the sense that one, you're putting more into it than the other. It's not always about self gratification. Love making is about two people coming together in unity and giving each other. Sex is about more of a, self gratification, like I said earlier, type of thing. And it kind of broke it down using Shakespeare and all those other. Okay, that's what we're supposed to understand about what lovemaking is. So I'm going to try to make it as simple. Hopefully this is a little bit simpler to talk about than that one. Okay, this is according to All Women's Talk, and it basically asks or talked about 7 big differences between sex and lovemaking. All right, let's see. It says there are many differences between sex and lovemaking. Women enjoy seeing passionate lovemaking in the movies, but sometimes are disappointed by their own experiences that don't even come close. There is something so sensual and beautiful when two people have chemistry together, but that isn't always the case when it comes to sex. Sometimes people have sex just to have sex. I'm going to share with you 8 big differences between sex and love. She said 7, but it's saying 1, knowing each other. The first time you're with someone can sometimes be a bit awkward. It takes time to get to know someone's body and pleasure points. When you're in love with someone, the time you put into getting to know each other's bodies is intimate. You take pleasure in making sure you know what makes them tick. When you have sex with someone and you're just doing it to do it, that is a clear difference between sex and love. Sex is a physical act when looking at it without any spark or chemistry. That's when the love is missing. Okay? Number 2. Friends with benefits. And I know there are a lot of people with friends with benefits. I do know that. Okay. A lot of people say you can't be friends with benefits without someone developing feelings, which does tend to be true. But what is going on before those feelings are involved is simply platonic. Need to feel one's craving for sex. If you both find each other as attractive and can turn each other on, then why not enjoy the benefits? When the feelings do become involved, it becomes more than just a physical act. But again, they are feelings and emotions, which is what love is. So just remember, if you want to enjoy the friends part, stick to keeping a clear vision that is a relationship. Remember, having fears of being intimate is something that everyone deals with. 3, foreplay. One of the best things I've heard is foreplay doesn't start in the bedroom. It starts in the flirting. When you first meet someone and have the chemistry, the sexual tension in itself is foreplay. Sex is just an action, but falling in love includes the foreplay. Foreplay means you don't want to rush sex. You want to take your time and enjoy every bit of it. When there is no foreplay, there's no desire in wanting to please each other, and that is a major difference between sex and love. 4, the big O, orgasm. A lot of people misconstrue an orgasm as love. Yes, that toe curling, body shaking, want to scream from the top of your lungs feeling doesn't mean you just experience love. It's just another part of sex. But getting to that moment does include intense passion and love between a partner. It's hard to find yourself having the big O without being able to connect with the person. I don't agree with that. I'm sorry, I disagree with that. Okay. I'm just going to leave it like that. I disagree. Okay. Sex is a release. And this is 5. Sex isn't just about romance. Sometimes people use sex as a release, the same way you want an after-work drink. This is a big difference between sex and love. Love includes emotions, while sex is just the action. Having sex with someone is a release for yourself and can be purely selfish motive. When you are doing it for that reason, it's not about love. And that's plain to see. You just need to, like I said, get that monkey off your back. Wow. Okay. Number six, selflessness. Selflessness, which is love, makes you want to please every part of your partner, physically and emotionally. There is something about it that feeds you inside. Think every romance movie you have seen where the guy courts, woos, and pleasures the woman he is fond over. It is never a rushed experience, but a sensual, caressing, and selfless moment. This is a big difference between sex and love. In comparison, love can be fast with a goal of get off and get done. When your motive is selfish, it's not about the love. Wow. Really. Number seven, chemistry. Everyone knows what chemistry means, right? Now, before I discuss this, chemistry, you can have chemistry between two people, and it doesn't have to be love. But then again, they say that is lust and not chemistry. So we'll see. Think of the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, where Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson have the epic moment in the shower where you literally see them fall in love with each other. It is not the most romantic love story, but it is one I feel most women can relate to. There's that moment in a relationship when you connect with your partner on a new level, lovemaking, as most people call it. That chemistry is something two people can create only when you have love between you two. Of course, you can have sexual attraction to each other and a spark. That's what makes sex hot and steamy. But it's not the full definition of lovemaking. There's all different levels of chemistry with someone. It's just seeing where you truly connect. Now, a lot of times girls get confused with the differences between sex and love. But I hope these are helpful in relating to your experiences. With these in mind, whether you are single or in a relationship, think about how you feel when you are with someone and if it's truly love or truly a hot, steamy, passionate sex endeavor. Have you ever confused sex with love? Yeah. Good. I don't see me doing that. Sorry. Nope. I don't see having that problem where you're confusing it, okay? I just don't see it. I'm sorry. Now, let's see. Now that we understand, or we thought we understood, the difference between this is so funny. I'm laughing at something, you guys, and I'm sorry. I'm laughing. So funny. man, people think of the most craziest things. I'm sitting here, and I want you guys to understand that there's a lot going on in how we handle these words. There really is. These stories, I mean, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm kind of really flabbergasted here. some of the things that I keep thinking that okay. Since we kind of came off the subject a little bit, with my mind, because my mind has wandered a lot, you guys. I'm going to tell you right now. My mind has really wandered. Not wandered, but wandered. Is that how I want to say it? Yeah, wandered away a little bit here. I'm just, like, amazed at the things that people really, really, really think about sex. I don't want to say that some people don't really understand the difference. And the thing that the thing that really gets me is we all have our own interpretation of lovemaking, and we all want to make sure everybody knows that we know the difference. And really, we really don't. And I'm going to see if this all compares together. I read so much. I'm sorry, you guys. I really do read a lot. But I've been reading so hard and so long and about so many things, my head just gets overwhelmed. So I have to kind of step back a little bit just for a second. Okay. Let's see. Now, we have another good subject here. Let's see what's going on here. We have the subject, and it's have sex versus make love, which is altogether the same. It says, have sex is a phrase that describes physical connection that leads to sexual pleasure, release, and gratification. Making love is all of this, but also provides a deep emotional connection, affection, and shared bond that develops between caring lovers. While making love is also to do with the state of mind, having sex is more about the physical relationship, which we've already established that. So let's go ahead and do a comparison chart here, which I think is very interesting. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. Have sex is a phrase that describes physical connection that leads to sexual pleasure and release and gratification. Making love is all of this, but also emphasizes the deep emotional connection, affection, and shared bond that develops between two caring lovers. Partner with beloved or anyone else. That's under have sex. Make love only with the beloved. When you add emotion into having sex, emotions are not necessarily involved if you're in an uncommitted relationship. When you make love, emotions involved often more pleasurable due to the fact that you are pleasing the person that you love. The act, when you're having sex, is just a sexual act. When you're making love, sexual and emotional act happens. Having sex in a relationship, mostly short-term, one-night stands, sometimes in marriages or long-committed relationships. Making love is always long-term. I don't know if you believe that or not. I don't. Okay, so it breaks it down, and it says, with a partner, having sex is general sexual intercourse between a couple. This is irrespective of the fact that they share love or any bond between them. While making love reflects a feeling of affection associated with sexual intercourse, making love also implies being intimate with your partner, not only physically, but also mentally, while having sex is just an urge for intercourse. One may have sex with any person, needn't be their partner, spouse, beloved, etc. It can also mean casual sex with anyone. While making love is generally referred to intercourse with a partner, spouse, or beloved. In simple words, with one you care for or are emotionally attached to. Now, let's talk about the emotion. Having sex doesn't extend beyond sexual intercourse, and more often than not, there isn't any emotion between the couple. On the other hand, emotional attachment, including infatuation in the beginning of a relationship, is there when making love. It is sharing overall intimacy. Some people also suggest that making love is an expression of love, though having sex isn't, because love might not be involved. The urge. Having sex may just satisfy one's sexual urge, while making love may please a person's physical, emotional, sexual, and mental urges. It can't be said that having sex is merely restricted to a physical act, while making love goes to include other urges also. Action. A few people also might believe that having sex is when sexual intercourse is fast and quick, while making love is when they're having a slow and tender sexual intercourse. Wow. The difference? Yeah. That is the difference. Wow. Didn't know that. Really, I did, but I wanted to say that to you guys on purpose. I really did know that. Okay. Wow. This is lovely. This is loving. Let's see. And I think it's all coming back to the same thing. I really do. I think it comes right back to the same thing when you're saying, what is the difference between making love? Making love is more symbolic. Making love is showing how you feel toward another person. Making love is being one with that person, having a connection, a chemistry. When you do make love with that person, to that person, it's all of you and not just the bottom side of you, the lower half, because most of the time when you're having sex, it's just about you and that person. Yeah, or might be one physically, but mentally and emotionally, you're not. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, you're just trying to, like I said earlier, get the monkey off your back. And if getting that monkey off your back sometimes make you think that you're in love, you can love to have sex with that person, but that's not being in love with that person. It doesn't go together. Sex is animalistic. Lovemaking is not. Sex is fulfilling a need. Lovemaking is also fulfilling a need, but it's not a need only for yourself. It's also the need for that other person to feel what you're feeling. The coming together as one, okay? Sex is almost a necessary evil to a certain extent when lovemaking is necessary. It's necessary for a marriage to be strong. It's necessary for relationships to be strong. Some people say we use lovemaking and we use sex to keep our men and women. Men says we do what we got to do so she don't look at anybody else. But it's really not about that. If you love that person, another person couldn't come in and divide that bond anyway. We talked about cheating. We talked about all that. We talked about what's missing in relationship and why this happens. Being able to use the foreplay before making love. All of that involves in the making love side of
things. Now, when you're having sex, there is foreplay. Now, it might not have the same meaning as it is when you're in love with someone, but still there's foreplay, because there's no way you're going to have sex with somebody without foreplay, whether it's a one-night stand, whether it's a long-term relationship. You can have it like that, but it's not the same. Foreplay is a very important part. At least I know if you're having sex, you're attracted to me. And the foreplay shows me that you're attracted to me to a certain extent. Opposed to you just meeting, hey, how you doing? My name is such and such. Okay, meet me in this hotel room. No, it takes more than that. And it's amazing. it's amazing how we do not understand the difference. Some people say they fall in love on a one-night stand. I think that's impossible, but who am I? Okay. what we call casual sex. You know, one-night stand is casual sex. Some people say, like, you meet your wife or your girlfriend in a bar. You take her home, and on the first date, you do it, or you do it, or whatever. And it's so funny. And all of a sudden, now y'all are in love. And after that first night, y'all are inseparable. So you're saying from the first night, you just knew that's the person you're going to be with the rest of your life. And all the time, he or she is already have a wandering eye, and they're like, okay, can I get rid of this person? How do I get rid of this person? You got to find and figure out a way to get rid of this person. If you don't, you're in trouble. Okay. So, in conclusion, we find out what the difference between lovemaking and sex, and having sex. Sex is an action. Lovemaking is an action, but it includes oneness, unity. Even though sex is two people, it's still in the mindset, it's one, each self-satisfying each other. Satisfying yourself and that other person satisfying themselves. That's sex. Lovemaking is coming together as one in mind, body, spirit, emotions, and it's intense, it's beautiful, and there's a chemistry there. Sex is sex. I meet you, I like you, let's have sex. Or I've had a bad day, let's have sex. I need to release myself. so there is a big difference in sex. But I think couples have both. I'm sorry. That's just me. I think there's a time in a relationship where couples married or relationships, dating, whatever, they have sex on some occasions and they make love on others. So, I don't know. That's just me. All right. So, when we come back, we will be talking about, we'll be going into the Entrepreneur's Corner, and we'll talk about how to become a notary public. Okay? Notary public. Okay. Did I say that right? Yeah. Okay. So, let's get a little... Let's see here. Thank you.
Stripping away the natural oils so you don't end up with dry and flaky skin. Olive oil also allows the skin to sweat and shed cells naturally. Commercial soaps that contain synthetic cleaners and fragrances can block your pores and cause irritation. Olive oil is a natural source of the antioxidants, vitamin E and A, which fights free radicals. You can try this and other bath and body products from Fabulous by Design, the business of the body. Visit the website at Fat and Fabulous by Design, LLC.biz, another proud sponsor of the Red Journal Radio Show.
Last night we put on an epic light show.
Yeah, we did.
The crowd loved us. We love the crowd.
Wait, but...
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys. We are back with the Red Journal Radio Show, and we are sitting in the second half, almost through. I'm your host, Salita, and I'm enjoying the show tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation we had earlier about sex and love and what's the difference. And it's really, there is a difference. I said no, but who am I? Okay. So now we're going to go into the entrepreneur's corner. And tonight we're going to talk about how to become a notary public. Okay? Now, let's see what it says about that. Now, who the question, first question is, how do I become a notary? The requirements for becoming a notary differ from state to state. Okay. You can be able to choose the state you're in and then go and see what it says. Another question is, once you become a notary, how do I renew my commission? The requirements for renewing your commission, it also, again, differs from state to state. It says, how do I learn more about becoming a notary? You can learn by reading notary practices, educational materials, all of this. You should be able to get that information. With a notary, this is state-by-state type of information. So it's not information that you can I can sit here and tell you everything. Everything is basically by the state. Because I am in Louisiana, I would have to go by the Louisiana laws. And you get that information through the Secretary of State, through your Secretary of State. Okay. Let's talk about how to become a notary again, because I found some more information as I sit here looking. A notary is someone who is commissioned by the state to witness the signing of signatures on legal documents as well as perform other essential legal functions of the state. It is estimated that there are 6.4 million notaries in the U.S. Wow. This number is expected to double by 2020. Career opportunities abound here, but you must be prepared. Okay. And this breaks it down by steps. Decide if you want legal training. A notary is either a lawyer or someone designated by the law to witness signatures on legal documents, execute jurates, take proofs of deeds, etc. It is not required that you get formal legal training, a JD or law degree, although preference could be handed out to those with formal legal training or degrees in criminology or related legal fields. Decide if you want to bolster your application with formal legal training or training in a related field. Two. It says, determine whether your criminal record could leave you ineligible if applicable. Although people with a criminal record are not automatically disqualified in the United States, a criminal record with only minor crimes may be as much as you can get away with. A criminal record with more serious crimes may substantially affect your ability to become certified. In a few states, such as Texas and New York, among others, applicants with a felony charge may be ruled ineligible for certification as notary public. Number three, figure out if your state requires any notary classes before you apply. Most of the time, they do. At the present time, most states and territories do not require any special training or knowledge. States such as California and Florida, however, require specific specialized training and education for licensing. I am totally wrong. I thought you did. I do know. I thought you took a class. Okay, I can be wrong. These classes run anywhere from 3 to 6 hours, generally, and cost anywhere from $100 to $150. The following states require that you take class in order to become licensed as a notary public. You have California, Colorado, North Carolina, and Oregon. Then number four, you take the test. It's a state-mandated notary exam, if necessary. Most states will make you the notary public candidate. Take a notary exam before you can apply. It will cost around $50. Usually, some states, such as Louisiana, allow you to skip the test if you are already licensed to practice law in the state. So as a lawyer, you don't have to worry about that. Wonder why Louisiana is so corrupt? The following states require that you take the test in order to become licensed as a notary public: Connecticut, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Louisiana, Maine, Nebraska, New York, Utah, California, Colorado, North Carolina, Oregon. The exam, for most part, consists of 30 multiple-choice questions and 50 minutes to complete the exam. A score of at least 70% is required to pass. If you do not receive at least a score of 70%, you may be given one free retake voucher, although you can take the exam more than once. Exams usually may not be taken more than once in the same calendar month, so you'd have to wait a little bit before you can take it again. Results of the exam are usually issued after 15 days and may be mailed or emailed to the applicant. That makes it easier. Okay, next thing you need to do is check in with your state officials to determine who is responsible for your licensing. Typically, the Secretary of State administers the Office of Notary. In some states, like New Jersey, Secretary of Treasury oversees the Commission of Notary Public. You will need to get the Notary Public application from the State Department responsible for licensing and commission. Then, number six, you apply. Complete the application in strict accordance with their instructions. It is usually a pretty straightforward application asking for your personal information and details relating to your previous employee as a notary public, if applicable. The application will include a nominal filing fee, usually something around $25. Number seven, await an acceptance or rejection from the appropriate State Department. The state will either accept your application or reject it. Rejected claims are usually sent back to application with the notice to applicant for correction and resubmission. Applicants who are accepted need to return a commission certificate to the appropriate office. Once the commission certificate is sent in, take an oath with the county clerk. Number eight, comply with all laws of your state as they apply to the notary. Being a notary public means learning the proper procedures for identifying a person and what proper identification is according to the laws of your state. Make a record of all transactions, regardless of whether your state requires such or not. Always keep your notary seal and journal under lock and key. If your employer urges you to become a notary and you comply, you must take your seal and journal with you if you decide or happen to leave your place of employment. Never leave it at the job. Wow. Number nine, market yourself by equipping yourself with state tools. To make a living, either part-time or full-time, businesses and professionals need to know you are available. Once you have told someone of your skills and abilities, repeat telling them and others that you are available. Wow. That is awesome. Very good information. Short, sweet, straight to the point. Would that be something that you would be interested in doing? I think it would be a good part-time, as long as you abide by the rules and the laws of your state. I think it would be awesome to do. That's just me. I mean, yeah, I think that's very, the idea that people would think to do that. Ouch. Okay. Let's look and see. Okay. These are some of the questions, but I think we probably just went over some of this stuff, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth. It says, who is eligible to become a notary public, which we didn't talk about. To be commissioned as a notary public in Texas, this is in Texas, you must be a Texas resident at least 18 years of age who has not received a final conviction for a crime involving moral turpitude or a felony. How do you become one? If you meet the eligibility requirements, submit the following to the Secretary of State. You have to complete this form And you also have to get a proof of a $10,000 surety bond. And if the filing fee is 20. Now, you notice that in the other conversation or the other discussion, they didn't tell you about the bond. You have to be bonded. Once you're commissioned, you may purchase your required notary seal and record book from any office supply company. How do you renew your notary? Because that's going to be important once you got it and it's time for you to renew it. You must submit the following information 9 days before the expiration of your commission, which is the same information, proof that you still have your $10,000 surety bond and the filing fee of $21. Wow. Can you change your name shown on your notary public commission? You know, is that possible? Something like if you get married or divorced or whatever, can you change your name? Men, that doesn't go for you, but for women, if women want to do this. It says, yes, you can. You may change your name, his or her commission, by sending the Secretary of State name change application, his or her certificate of commission, a rider, or an endorsement from the insurance agency or surety showing the name change, making sure that you contact the bond person who bonded you. Make sure all that information is on there, too, prior to you turning it over to them to have it done. Let's see. Let's see here. Let's talk about the type of things that a notary can are able to seal. There's a list of different things, birth certificates, decrees, legal documents, divorce papers. let's see. I know at my bank, your bank always has a notary public. And usually if you're a member, good standing, you don't have to pay. Majority of the time, you don't have to pay. I don't. That's not for all banks, but you don't have to pay. And they just do notarize your paperwork. I have a couple of friends that were notaries. I don't think they're still notaries, but they were at one time. And I guess it has a lot to do with keeping up with all your paperwork and having being able to make sure that you have your record book. That's another thing. That you need. Let's see. I'm sorry, you guys. Okay. And I guess they all broke down by state. The association that you become part of, it's called the National Notary Association. You become a member of that if that's something you want to, you know, keep up with or want to be affiliated with. I noticed that it keeps on talking about the ideal that you need to keep a clean record, which is very, you know, very important. These are the things that you're able to do once you become commissioned. Minister oath and affirmations, we were talking about that. Take affidavits and depositions. Screen signers of sensitive documents like wills and property deeds. Ensure that signatures are obtained without intimidation or duress. Receive and certify proofs of deeds, mortgages, powers of attorney, demand payment of bills of exchange and promissory notes. A notary is also an impartial servant who may never refuse to serve a person due to race, nationality, religion, sexual orientation, or politics. That's very important. A fixation of the notary signature and seal of office on a document certified notarization. The seal is the universally recognized symbol of the notary office. Its presence gives a notarized document considerable weight in legal matters and renders it genuine in a court law. So that's basically talking about what a notary does, which is very important. Hey, let's see what is on the notary exam. I wonder what kind of questions do they ask on the notary exam. Wouldn't that be interesting to know? Let's talk about how to prepare for the notary exam. There is a book called, this is Louisiana Notarial Law and Practice. It basically shows you what's in samples of what is asked on the questions. Very interesting. Okay. Let me see. I'm sorry. I was looking at something. Okay. Let's talk about exam tips. And we didn't do that with the real estate because the real estate has some real, and I have some of the questions for the real estate test and the private investigation test too. Yeah. okay. These are types of questions that would be ask or you should prepare yourself for. It says carefully read your general instructions, quickly browse the notary test questions and assess how many you already know ahead of time. There's a multiple choice. As you take a notary exam, gauge how long it's taking you to answer each question and quickly assess how many you will have completed in a given amount of time, because I think it says you have 90 minutes and there's 30 questions. Skip any questions on the notary exam that seem to be too difficult and mark them to come back to later. On multiple choice notary test answers all the questions, even if you have to guess on some of them. Always do that. And try not to second guess yourself. Use your first answer and keep going. Now, I'm going to give you a sample exam. Okay. It says, each question or incomplete statement is followed by several suggested answers or completions. Select one that best answers the question or completes the statement. Okay. A notary public is best described as a amicus curiae, legal counsel, public official, or actuary. I say public official. Okay, the Office of Notary Public was established by who? Was it the ancient Greece, the Roman Empire, the medieval England, or colonial America? I have no idea, but I'm going to say colonial America. Newly commissioned notary publics are required to file their oath of office and official signature with the county clerk within 90 days. I'm just saying that. I don't know if that's truth or not. A county clerk's authentication of a notary's authority is usually obtained when the document specifies land conveyance. It's used in New York City, requires such authentication, and is used outside New York State. Okay, I don't know how to answer that one. But these are just sample questions. But you know what I'm thinking already, you guys? I am already thinking about this because I love taking tests, even though sometimes I am not so hot with them. I love taking tests. I love challenging myself with that. So those are kind of questions that you will have asked once you take the test if you're interested in becoming a notary public. I'm hoping I'm answering the questions. I'm hoping I'm explaining to you what a notary public does. And as we read, 4.6 million notary public in the U.S. by 2010. They are going to need plenty, plenty more. So the opportunities are out there for part-time and full-time work. Just make sure you keep your record clean, keep your nose clean, and do what you're supposed to do. Get that surety bond. Always make sure you are bonded whenever you're dealing with stuff like this because this is state. This is not a private entity. It is private for you as a business owner. That's what you want to do on a full-time basis. But as you're dealing with the state, you have to abide by the state rules and regulations. You have to. That is just a must, okay? That is definitely a must for you to do. Now, throw another song at you guys, and then I don't know if I'm going to close out a little bit earlier tonight because I think we kind of covered everything. You know what the difference between sex and love is. And I just went over how to become a notary public. Tomorrow, we'll talk about something different. I'm sorry I don't have this stuff already planned ahead of time because I change my mind all the time. So we'll find out what's going to be in the journal for tomorrow and what's in the Entrepreneur's Corner. Okay? So just think about what we've done in the past 3 weeks. We have covered a lot of ground in the past 3 weeks. Okay? So I want to continue to cover the ground on that. I think a great, how to become a voiceover expert. That's a good idea. Let's do that for the Entrepreneur's Corner tomorrow. Oh, we do have to do our recipe. So when we play the song, come back, we'll do the recipe.
Thank you.
for some reason, I don't know what happened with that. Okay, let's do our recipe for the day, or for tomorrow, that is. Turkey marsala, okay? It takes 10 minutes to prep, 30 minutes to cook, and it makes 4 servings, which you know you can always increase your servings by adding more meat. Okay, first what you need is 1 package of 20-ounce turkey breast tenderloins, 1/4 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon of salt divided, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper divided, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1/2 pound sliced fresh mushrooms, 1/2 cup reduced sodium, chicken broth, 1/2 cup of Marsala wine, and 1 teaspoon of lemon juice. You need to cut the tenderloins crosswise in half, pound to 3/4 inch thickness. In a bowl, mix flour and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Dip turkey in flour mixture to coat both sides. Shake off excess. In a large nonstick skillet, heat oil, over medium heat. Add turkey, cook 6 to 8 minutes on each side or until thermometer reads 165 degrees. Remove from pan, keep warm. In the same skillet, heat butter over medium-high heat. Add mushrooms, cook, and stir 3 to 4 minutes or until tender. Stir in broth and wine. Bring to a boil, cook until liquid is reduced by half, about 12 minutes. Stir in lemon juice and remaining salt and pepper. Serve with turkey. This is 295 calories, 8 grams of fat, 3 grams of saturated fat, 77 milligrams cholesterol, 482 milligrams of sodium, 12 carbs, 1 fiber, 36 protein. And if you want to exchange, you're a diabetic, you can use 4 lean meats and 1.5 fat and 1 starch. So that is our recipe for today, which was turkey marsala. Wow, and it does look good, you guys. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try one of these recipes and see if I can really, really make it. Because I'm going to tell you what, I'm not saying I'm an expert in the kitchen, but I do pretty good. I can scramble something around in there. So I think this would be awesome to try. Good. Okay. So, now that we've talked about sex, we talked about becoming a notary, what combination can you get that? Tomorrow we'll talk about in the journal, what's in the journal. We'll be talking about, wow, exercise. I think exercise is a good thing, especially for us women who try to get as much in as possible. I know I do. My day sometimes are not as busy, but it's hard for me to get motivated. So I need to learn how to be motivated to use all my equipment that I have. So we'll talk about motivation and exercise. And then in the Entrepreneur's Corner, we'll talk about how to become, and I said it earlier, my God, my mind just went blank again. You know what I'm going to have to start doing? I'm going to have to start using my little note pieces of paper, my sticky notes, or I got index cards, and write down what we will be talking about on the show. Wouldn't that make sense, you guys? I just, like, do stuff I don't know. So tomorrow we'll talk about getting motivated. Motivating for exercise and Entrepreneur Corner. Let's see, what could we do for the entrepreneur? Because I'm telling you guys, it slipped my mind. We talked about it. I mentioned it, but I can't remember what it was. Something not really hard. Oh, let's try interior designer. Now, this does probably, you will need to go to school for this. I do know that much. You have to have an education background. Some people are good with design anyway. If you're good with crafts and stuff like that, making pillows and coordinating colors really is the same thing, but it's best to have a license behind your name. So we'll talk about how to become an interior designer tomorrow. All right. So I want to say we're going to shut down Rev Journal Radio a little bit earlier today. But I'm really having fun doing this, you guys. I hope you are too. Understand you can always, and I don't even invite you guys to call in. I don't know why. It's not like I don't want you to call in. You don't want to hear me yammering over and over again. But, yeah, I think we should have people call in. I don't mind doing that. So I'm going to have to start promoting the show on another level, which I haven't been doing. Ooh, bad, bad, bad. But anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Motivating for exercise and interior design, how to become an interior designer or interior decorator, either way. Same thing. If you watch HGTV a lot, you'll see that all of that is on there. So, again, I want you guys to have a great night. Have a great morning. Have a great day tomorrow, please. And I look forward to meeting with you again. This has been Rev Journal Radio Show, and I want to say good night. Thank you for listening to the Rev Journal Radio Show. Join us again for more news and information that will stimulate your mind, inspire you to step out your comfort zone.